Blog Talk Radio.
I count 6 shots, nigga.
I count 2 guns, nigga. You said in 76 years on this plantation, you've seen all manner of shit done to niggas. But I noticed, you didn't mention kneecapping.
Oh, God! Motherfucker! Stephen!
76 years, Stephen. How many niggas you think you see come and go, huh? 7,000? 8,000? 9,999? Every single word that came out of Calvin Candy's mouth was nothing but horseshit. But he was right about one thing. I am that one nigga in 10,000.
You son of a bitch. You motherfucker. Oh, please, Jesus, let me kill this nigga. You ain't gonna get away with this, Django. They gonna catch your black ass. You gonna be on the wanted posters now, nigga. The bounty hunter's gonna be looking for you. You can run, nigga, but they gonna find your ass. And when they do, oh, Lord, what they gonna do to your ass? They ain't gonna just kill you, nigga. You done fucked up. This Candyland, nigga. You can't.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk. Who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Folks, you know it's a new year when I have Django Unchained clips already. I have them for your listening pleasure already, and I have a variety of them. So be prepared. The show has gotten actually more fiery in the new year. Can you believe it? Who would have thunk it? Folks, welcome to AfroNerd, AfroNerd Radio featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number for the Midweek and Review show, once again, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. We have a lot to unpack, a lot to wax about, a lot to deliberate. Whichever synonym you can think of, we will get into it. But first, we got to play a little something. Talk amongst yourselves while we give you some grooves. This is Stylin' by UK's Omar and Angie Stone. Let's get to it, folks. Time to groove.
I can see that you cool, got something I want to be down for anything you're selling down, down. You give me palpitation, you know. Whoa, whoa, make your move, stop to prove. Show me what you got. I can see you're ready when you're on the spot. Like now, now. You give me palpitation, no, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
it's not all my fault. I can't be myself when you're around. Baby, wow, wow. You give me palpitation, young. Boom, boom, we can be anything that our hearts desire. Move it with the universe, we can inspire love, love. Ha. You give me inspiration,
folks. Once again, that was Omar featuring Angie Stone, Stylin'. Folks, we're back. The Midweek Review Show, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. We're going to be all over the map. We have some topics that are definitely on our menu, but there's a lot of things that have been going on in the last 24 hours that I really want to get into, just kind of off the cuff. But before we do that, I have to have, of course, the captain in full effect. Captain, it's time. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Gentlemen and devoted Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk listeners. And I say to Mr. Desmond, do we have time for a diatribe? Do I have time for a diatribe or no?
We have time. It's 90 minutes. Sure.
Okay.
We got time this time.
All right. Plenty of time. So this one, this is called the Candyland Diatribe. Afro Nerd and myself were talking about this behind the scenes a little bit, so let me just bring it to the forefront. It was a history teacher many years ago that told me the real reason why they stopped slavery was because in an industrialized nation, slavery makes no sense whatsoever. You need a better system of turning everybody, pretty much everybody, except for the elite, into slaves. You say, how so? Wage slavery. You work all week long, and then they pay you a wage. Then you come back next week. Maybe you get paid every 2 weeks. If you're a manager, maybe once a month. But most of you listeners, if you're not paid within a month, you may find yourself on the street. You have little to no savings. What do you have put away? $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000? 401k does not count. It counts, but it does not count. Because we all know, as some of you have experienced this, it can disappear overnight. So let's talk about the real money that you have put away. Very little. Most of you have big mortgages, you pay big rent, you have cars that you're paying on, credit cards, student loans, or your kids' student loans, all different type of things you owe. So you never really make any real money. You're actually operating in a deficit. Some of you own houses, but do you actually really own the house? You say, what are you talking about, Captain? I paid $350,000. I paid $500,000 for my house. I paid $100,000 for my house many years ago if you're older. And it's paid for. Yeah, it's paid for. But there's taxes every year on it. Miss your taxes for 3-4 years and see what happens. See if you will hold on to that property. That's like you buying a flat screen TV set, nice one, for let's say $1,000, and they tell you every year you have to pay $100 tax for that flat screen TV. And then you do not pay those taxes for 3 years, and then they come in and take that TV. You never really owned it. You leased it. So anything of real value, you do not really own. So in this country here, just as the slaves, you might say the slaves originally going back 1858, they were whipped on their back and everything else. They're not whipping you now, but you are a slave to that almighty dollar, day in and day out. You go to your job. They do not pay you what you're really worth, because if they paid you what you were really worth, you would actually begin to get ahead. You would actually really begin to make money. That's the reality of it. We all have been put on a big candy land. Candy land is the plantation in the movie in Django Unchained. We've all been put on a big plantation called wage slavery. That's the equivalent to Candyland in the movie Django Unchained, whether we realize it or not. It's a beautiful system. It's so beautiful, we don't realize that we are slaves. Wage slavery, that is. Wage slavery, folks. It's just something for you to think about day in and day out. When you go to work tomorrow, think about it. They're not paying you what you need to be paid or you should be paid. Wage slavery. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yes, Captain, you were definitely dead on target on that one. I mean, that's something that is affecting just about everyone who is below upper tier status or below an industrialized status, someone who's an actual owner. What you said is extremely, extremely profound. And it is what it is. And I'll tell you something that's funny. You know, one of the topics we're going to get into, it deals with veteran syndicated radio host Tom Joyner. I don't think he's quite in trouble. It's really a minor thing. But he likened the injury that RG3, Robert Griffin III, sustained an injury to his knee recently. And he likened the coach telling him to go back out there. Who is the Washington Redskins coach, Captain?
Michael Stranahan.
Right. He likened him on air. This again, we're talking about Joyner. Joyner referenced Django and said that he was Calvin Candy. He called him Calvin Candy, RG3's coach, because – now, this is what I dislike about radio, is that sometimes you get things twisted and a lot of misinformation is put out there. So he was going on this whole thought process that RG3 was told to go out there despite doctor's orders, which I don't think is really quite the truth. I don't think that's quite what happened. But it doesn't matter. Joyner wants to have that story out there because it makes for good radio, even though it's incorrect. And this is what's wrong with the radio landscape, even as we speak, Captain, that they are comfortable in disseminating misinformation. Nevertheless, the reason why I mention is because what's going to happen is that a lot of people are going to make analogies with Django with just about everything. And I said myself, I thought that many of us who are caught under the rock of industrialization, of corporatization, that you're working for a plantation, although it's a sophisticated one and it has AC. You know, that's, but it still feels like, you know, if you don't have control over your own life, which is a lot of what we're trying to do here at Afro Nerd and give people information and trying to expand this brand, shouting out Afro Brit once again. Afro Brit, I did get your email. I will get back to you. But, hey, a Afro Nerd UK sounds kind of nice. An Afro Nerd UK sounds kind of nice. Hell, an Afro Nerd Tokyo sounds kind of nice. So we're trying to put this together. We're doing, the Catherine and myself are doing certain things. But the reason why I brought this up is because Joyner brings the connection. The Catherine brings the connection. It's going to be pretty interesting as time goes on and how this movie embeds itself in the culture. Once it embeds itself in the culture, how you are going to be able to see certain things from the movie and place what you see from the movie into real life. So it is what it is. Again, folks, welcome to AfroNerd, AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. Call in number 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. A lot to get into, a lot of things just off the cuff. More Django news, actually, unintentionally. I don't think it was even listed, Captain, but it seems like a bit of a hullabaloo, a bit of a hullabaloo has come up because of these Django dolls. Now, I might have mentioned it as an off-the-cuff thing, but it appears to be gaining a bit more steam on the internet, a bit more steam in the media, because now they're looking at this, well, listen, I'm not even sure if the perception of Django Unchained, is truly a 50-50 split. Might be more 70-30 in the black community. So I wouldn't say half black folks like it, half black folks dislike it. I would think that there's probably a bit more of an edge, over 51%, that are in favor of what Django posits, Django Unchained. But now there appears to be somewhat of a backlash, not against the movie, but about the ancillary things that are coming out of the movie. Dolls. I mentioned this off the cuff. I believe the last show, you can go to Afro Nerd Radio, our Facebook page. Definitely go to our Facebook page anyway, because I'm always putting things up there, little tidbits, little news bits. And a few days ago, I found out about this whole deal with a company that I think is affiliated with Tarantino, or Tarantino is getting some kind of profit out of this. But this company, working in conjunction with the movie, this company has made Django character dolls, Django Unchained character dolls. So now Reverend Sharpton is on the case, and is speaking of boycotts, not to boycott the movie. He's not going to do that. But he's boycotting this, or he's putting out there that perhaps we should be boycotting the makers, the manufacturers of this doll, or I should say these dolls, plural, because there's literally a doll for the major characters in this movie. There's a Steven doll, which I mentioned. There's an Uncle Tom House Negro doll. You have the Django doll. Now, actually, I have less of an issue with there being a singular doll for Django, because Django was the hero of the movie. But I'm not sure how I feel about it. Some black folks feel a bit uncomfortable now because they're thinking that, well, you know, you are profiting off of slavery. Slavery is not something that is a lighthearted affair by any stretch of the imagination. And some are saying that this did not happen in Inglourious Basterds. And again, I'm not comfortable with misinformation, Captain. I'm not comfortable with that. Everyone seems to be going with this whole thing that Tarantino did not do this with the Jewish revenge imprint. And I was under the impression that he did, that he does this with a lot of his movies. I think Sergio's listening. I can confirm this, but I remember seeing online a few bloggers noting that although this is connected with Django, that there were dolls for Inglourious Basterds that represented the major characters in that movie. So, you know, I'm not comfortable when you see these shows that try to ride the victimization train because it makes for good copy. It sounds good to keep on pouring it on. But I'm not comfortable in pouring something on unless it's true. So I'm not sure if they really, if they were not Inglourious Basterds dolls. I'll look into that. I think there might have been. But I want to ask you, Captain, do you think he went a little overboard on this one? I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure.
I am actually in the same place where you are at this given point. I'm on the fence with this. Now, if there was just a Django doll, come on. There's nothing to say, right? There's nothing to say about that.
He was a hero.
He's a hero.
That might be more complimentary. That might be more complimentary for him to have just a doll.
And then you say, okay, all right. You want to put a little balance to it, and you say, okay, you go ahead and say Leonardo DiCaprio. We make a doll with him too, just to put a little balance to it. All right, he was Mr. Candyland, but all right, we put that there too. But you see now when you see the Stephen, it's just one of those. I'm just on the fence with this right now. I need more information. That's the best way I can go with it.
That's the issue. I think these dolls are going for upwards of $200. Maybe a piece. The controversy is going to make them rare. They might shut this thing down. If they shut it down, then you have to get these dolls because then it'll add to the rarity of it. But I don't know because listen, even you, in your last diatribe, you had noted, or one of maybe a show before, maybe two shows ago, you had noted rather succinctly that, hey, this is really not a movie about slavery. It's more of a love story. Slavery is not a slavery picture in a way. Slavery is there. It's haunting. It's a haunting fixture in the movie, but it's not a slavery picture. It is a redux of a spaghetti western. And slavery is a part of the storyline. Roots was about slavery. Or one could make the argument more that it's about slavery. One could say that it's actually about a family. A family enduring slavery or having endured slavery. But in this case, I do feel like it's, I don't know, something does feel a little off-putting about it. Something does feel a little off-putting about it. And unfortunately, I would probably be more pro doll if it was just Django, because then you're imprinting him as a hero. But then at the same time, anytime a movie comes out, it's not uncommon to have these dolls. And also, actually, in later years, you're seeing films put out dolls for adults, for collectors, from films that aren't really, not really pop culture films in that way. You know what I mean? We're seeing all kinds of dolls being, they have dolls for all types of reasons now. Just for it to be, and for adults, so it's not really for kids. I mean, actually, if anything, would a kid want a Django doll? Well, again, a black father, a blackened father, or a blackened mother might give their kid a Django doll and that's it. Not a Steven doll, not the whole crew. I don't know. I don't know what to weigh in on this. I'm going to have to think about this. I'm going to have to think about it. Maybe our audience can give us a clue as to how they feel about this, but I don't know. I really don't want anything. I don't want this to deter folks from seeing this movie. That's my problem also. Let's let the movie stand. This could be a distraction for the movie. All right.
True.
Listen, there's a lot more to discuss. We've got to talk about Alex Jones, who some might think might have had an implosion, might have had a breakdown, a meltdown on Piers Morgan's show. I don't know what you'd call it. I have a clip on that, Captain, so I think I'm going to go to that next after a musical break. But I'm not sure what was going on with this. He is definitely entertaining. I can't say that he is not entertaining, but he did seem a little bit unhinged You know, he was out of it, man. Out of it. All right. Quickly, this is Robert Glasper, Black Radio Remix. We'll be back in a few moments, folks. Let's groove. Had to pull out the phaser on that one. Once again, Robert Glasper, Black Radio, Black Radio, giving you the best of, you know what we do, urban alternative, black rock, acid jazz, progressive hip-hop, afro-punk, you name it, we'll play it. But undoubtedly, you will not hear that on conventional radio. Folks, don't be scared. We're live. Midweek Review Show, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Listen, a few days ago, conspiratorial radio host, I guess that's the best way I can describe him, Alex Jones, he has a following, he's syndicated, he's pretty big, very entertaining, I will say this much. I'm not so deep into conspiratorial thinking. Not so deep into it. I think that conspiracies, I mean, we know about the Illuminati and we know about these all, I mean, I know many black folk really get themselves wrapped up in these kind of things, but see, my perception of conspiracies are that they're really not conspiracies because you know who the major players are, you know where the money's coming from, they're not exactly hidden. It's not really hidden. We know that the government is run by a corporatized elite. I mean, it's not really hard to figure out. I mean, we know that they have special interest groups. We know that there's a shadow government. I mean, if this was a secret, if it was really a secret, you wouldn't know about it. So sometimes when I listen to Alex Jones, he comes off with all the – he does sound a little bit bat-ass crazy. I'm editing myself, but he does come off a little bat-ass crazy where it's like when he talks, you get so wrapped up in what he's saying, it's almost akin to pouring a liquid down a drain where it just keeps on circling and circling and circling, and it never stops. The conspiracy never ends. Never ends. It's conspiracy after conspiracy after conspiracy. It's intertwined. You will go – anyone will go crazy believing – that these conspiracies are so undercover that, you know, you can't make a move. So, anyway, he has been a major force. I think it's pretty much a goof. It is a goof. But he's been a force with trying to get CNN host Piers Morgan deported. Now, Piers Morgan is a white British citizen, a moneyed white Brit. He's not going anywhere. But because he has come out against these draconian drug laws, I'm sorry, gun laws, pardon me. But actually, they're not draconian. He would want for them to be draconian. He would want for them to be draconian. So, you know, as a Brit talking about the American right, you know, the Second Amendment, the American right to bear arms, he's come under heat from some folks that are really, really gun happy, gun nuts. We've seen what happened a few weeks ago in Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut, that horror show. Children, young children being killed. Something has got to be done. So anyway, because he's been talking against the laws, the current gun laws, and wanting them to be beefed up, that has raised his profile, put him in the crosshairs, for the lack of a better analogy. He's been put in the crosshairs by some groups, and they want him ousted. One of those persons that is behind this is the radio show host, the syndicated host, the conspiratorial specialist, Alex Jones. So he made an appearance on CNN. Folks, you got to listen to this. It is entertaining, I have to admit. Alex Jones is the S. He's the S, but he goes so far into his conspiracy, so far into the muck and into the quicksand, he comes off crazy. But then, hey, that might make for good radio. I mean, you know, it is what it is. So if I can find this clip, you got to hear this, folks. I can't call it. We'll try to – it's a rather lengthy clip. You know, I'll cut it at some point, but – oh, wow. And his ability to rattle off facts, his facts, I can't be touched. All right, Alex Jones on Piers Morgan. Some are saying he had a meltdown. We'll leave it up to you to decide, folks. Hold on.
Anyone who's watched this show over the past few weeks knows I've taken a pretty strong stand on guns in America. It's on escape the notice of supporters of gun rights, and it's led to a petition on the White House official website, no less. It's entitled, and I quote, "Deport British citizen Piers Morgan for attacking Second Amendment." Take a look. More than 104,000 people have signed it so far. And joining me now is one of the people behind the petition, Alex Jones. He's host of the Alex Jones Show. Welcome to you.
Pierce, thanks for having me.
Why do you want to deport me?
Well, we did it as a way to bring attention to the fact that we have all of these foreigners and the Russian government, the official Chinese government. Mao said political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. He killed about 80 million people because he's the only guy that had the guns. So we did it to point out that this is globalism and the mega banks that control the planet and brag that they've taken over in Bloomberg, AP, Reuters, you name it, brag that they're going to get our guns as well. They've taken everybody's guns but the Swiss and the American people. And when they get our guns, they can have their world tyranny. While the government buys 1.6 billion bullets, armored vehicles, tanks, helicopters, predator drones, armed, now in U.S. skies, being used to arrest people in North Dakota, the Second Amendment isn't there for duck hunting. It's there to protect us from tyrannical government and street thugs. Take the women in India. Your piece earlier on CNN I was watching during Anderson Cooper's show didn't tell you that the women of India have signed giant petitions to get firearms because the police can't and won't protect them. The answer is... Wait a minute. I have FBI crime statistics that come out a year late, 2011. 20+% crime drop in the last 9 years. Real violent crime because more guns means less crime. Britain took the guns 15, 16 years ago. Tripling of your overall violent crime. True, we have a higher gun violence level, but overall mugging, stabbings, deaths, those men raped that woman in India to death with an iron rod 4 feet long. You can't ban the iron rods. The guns, the iron rods, Pierce, didn't do it. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand? That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns. My family in the Texas Revolution against Santa Anna, my family was at the core on both sides starting that because Santa Anna came to take the guns at Gonzales, Texas. Pierce, don't try what your ancestors did before. Why don't you come to America? I'll take you out shooting. You can become an American and join the Republic.
You finished?
Yes, I am finished. You will not take my right. You go through background checks to get guns. How about Prozac? You know the number one. Oh, that's the big sponsor, isn't it? Or that whole class of drugs.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, whoa, got to cut that off, don't you? Don't want to talk about the U.S. number one cause of death is suicide now because they give people suicide mass murder pills.
Calm down.
Your answer is give more money to the psychiatrist and psychologist to put more crazy people on drugs that make them kill people, Pierce.
Let's try and have a debate here.
Yeah.
Answer me this question.
Mm-hmm. I'm sick of the same old script here, bud.
It's fine, bud. How many gun murders were there in America last year? Do you know?
There were about 11,458, and about 74% of those were gang-related, gangbangers shooting each other. You get 3,500 to 4,000.
Okay, that wasn't the
case. How many people died from infections in hospitals? 197,000.
Let me just ask you a second.
That's right.
How many gun murders were there in Britain?
How many great white sharks?
No, how many...
Kill people every year, but they're scared to swim.
Right. How many gun murders were there in Britain?
A very low amount. I already went over those
statistics. How many, do you know?
It was only a few hundred.
No, no. How many gun murders?
I actually did pull up the statistics. Here, let me pull them out right here. I figured you'd do that.
Gun murders in Britain last year.
Oh, wait. UK violent crime, capital of Europe. London Telegraph. Here, let me give you more.
Quite a simple question.
Well, that's the oldest.
You're a very loud
man. That's the oldest Perry Mason tactic to ask me some little factoid.
It's not a little factoid.
I already said earlier.
We're talking about
England has a lot lower gun crime rate because you took all the guns.
Let me try exactly
my
point.
But you've got hordes of people burning down cities and beating old women's brains out every day.
What a ridiculous thing.
They arrest people in England if they defend themselves. That's on record. My God, you have got a total police state. Everybody's fleeing that country because you've had to flee here, bud. Why don't you tell folks? Yeah, you fled here. Why don't you go back and face the charges for the hacking scandal?
Answer this question. How many?
Why'd you get fired from the Daily Mirror for putting out fake stories? You're a hatchet man of the New World Order.
Okay.
You're a hatchet man. And I want to say this right here. You think you're a tough guy? Have me back with a boxing ring in here, and I'll wear red, white, and blue, and you can wear your Jolly Roger.
Okay.
You know what?
Let's try again. How many gun murders were there?
Oh, you're going to ban your fist now?
In Britain last year.
How many chimpanzees can dance on the head of a pin?
Hmm.
I already went over those statistics.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
You said hundreds.
It's very low.
You said hundreds?
Yes.
It's actually 35.
Well, the point is you can...
Against 11 thousand. Do you understand the difference between 11,000?
Yeah, England wants to ban knives now because tens of thousands are getting stabbed.
But do you understand the difference?
The knife doesn't kill people.
Do you understand?
The gun doesn't kill people.
Yes.
Listen,
do you understand
you're not going to pull on America's heartstrings? They know your script, okay? You're not going to get our guns. By the way, you guys always say, we just want to take the semi-autos, okay, and all this other stuff. When semi-autos aren't even, rifles aren't even used but in a fraction of the crimes, you can pull those numbers up, okay? No, hold on.
So let me ask you one question. Which weapon was predominantly used in the Aurora movie theater shooting?
M4 AR-15 variant.
So it was a semi-auto.
All right, folks, you get the gist. I had to let that ride a little bit because he is crazy. He's a talent, though. Alex Jones is a talent. He has his facts. He's not afraid to be confrontational. As soon as he said, hey, when Piers Morgan said to him, it looks like you want to get rid of me. Well, yeah, we want to get rid of foreigners. Foreigners. I said, holy crap. The guy calls him a foreigner to his face. Then he goes into a real madhouse mode. He shifts gears and says, "It's 1776. Your ancestors, the Republic will rise again." I mean, he's in this guy's face. First of all, folks, go to YouTube. Easy to search. This is Alex Jones, Piers Morgan. It's easy to search this thing. You got to see the visual on these two. I mean, you know, it's just. I don't know what this is. I guess it's entertainment. I like Alex Jones. I listen to him on occasion. Listen, we do our radio show the way that we do it, and I listen to all radio, comedic, talk show, you name it, because, I said it before, we're honing our own craft on how to do this, and you pick things up from people here and there. But he's bat-ass crazy. You know, You can rattle off facts, but there's a point where you start to go down the drain. Your sanity starts to melt because it never stops. The conspiracy never stops. I mean, I'm thinking that not to always go back to slavery, but slavery was supposed to be a conspiracy. How is it a conspiracy? They took you behind from your country, brought you over to work for 300 something years, changed your name. You have your own names. I mean, it's not a conspiracy if it's right in your face. I mean, you know, we see in the 21st century, with the way money rules everything, cash rules everything around me. I'm sure our hip-hop listeners know where that comes from. We see across the border, the southern border of the United States with Mexico, that so much money is involved with drugs. They have no problems chopping up bodies of dissidents, chopping up bodies of folks who might be bloggers who dare speak against what these criminals are doing. And what they will do is they will behead you and the rest of your blogging community and pour your carcass on a bridge. That's not a conspiracy. It's done in full daylight. So I don't know what to think about real conspiracies. I don't think it's necessary. But he's caught up in this. What are your thoughts about this performance, Captain? He's a talent. I cannot say that, but it's definitely entertaining, I'll tell you that much. But he's badass crazy.
The problem that most conspiracy theorist individuals have is that this. They point you in a direction for something. And most intelligent Americans and people in the world, if they're intelligent, maybe that's an oxymoron because they would say that there's not a lot of people that are very intelligent these days, but just say, in general, intelligent people, you point them in the direction of something, they could see something is wrong. But the problem with conspiracy theory people, they say, okay, here's the information. They told us that this happened. This, that, and that, this is actually what happened, and it happened this exact same way, and such is responsible. But even based on the evidence that they present, that's not the case. You cannot say such and such is actually responsible. Only thing that you can do when you look at the evidence that they present, say, yeah, based on the evidence you presented, it didn't happen the way they're telling you. That's it. So if anything, it's not so much a conspiracy. Yeah, it might be a cover-up. You know, we know the people, just as you aptly stated, we know the people that's in charge, especially on this show. Intelligent people know that, know who's calling the shots. That's the problem with these individuals. Now, one thing I will give him, his facts, as far as his facts, his ducks are in the row. When he says suicide kills more people than anybody here in America, when you say your fists kill more people than guns, when it's actually not the, you know, the rifles, we know what's killing everybody. Everyone knows. There's handguns that's killing everybody on the streets. Just look in any hood. That's been going on way before the Aurora shootings. What's happening? Black-on-black crime. It's handguns. Every now and then there's a Uzi that comes in there, but it's handguns. We know all of this already. That's the reality of it. So, you know, Mr. Alex Jones, I watch his show from time to time, also myself, you know, and I think he's a character. He's good at selling it. You know, he's a little too animated. You know, he's a little too animated, but he's a character. He's good at selling it. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yeah, that's the issue. A friend, of course, Sergio. Actually, I got a clip to play for Sergio. I was able to speak with some of the folks on Open Line New York, and again, second week in a row, they mentioned Shadow and Act. So I had to say that Sergio is a friend. And I know the gentleman behind Sergio, behind Shadow and Act. And then I went into Django. So I'll mention that. But I wanted to make sure that Shadow and Act is mentioned, you know, because they've given you free advertising, Sergio. Let's put it that way. The fact that for the second week in a row, Warrington Hudlin and Nelson George said that your site is the site to go to now. So I had to chime in and say, oh, yes, it is. It is. But anyway, back to this whole deal with Alex Jones. Alex Jones, when I was mentioning Sergio initially that he had said that, you know, we know that this is an act. He says here, you realize, of course, that Jones is an act. It's all entertainment playing to a particular audience like Hannity and the Deaf Fat Bastard. You know, yeah, that's the funny part is, I mean, the problem is that intelligent people, Sergio, of course we know that he's hamming it up. We know he's hamming it up. But for the followers of this man, they can't see the forest between the trees. You know, and that's the frightening part is that people follow other folks who are essentially putting on an act. And that's where it becomes very scary, that people are acting based on what Hannity says. The Tea Party movement, all these people. And it's so funny, you know, when you really know what's going on, it is clear that whether it's Hannity, whether it's Bill O'Reilly, any of Glenn Beck, they would not personally associate with these lower-tier white folk that are in the Tea Party movement. They wouldn't associate with these people, but they have no problems using them for their own, you know, for their own wares, for their own support. Anyway, I had to share with our audience because I thought that the visual on this thing is off the chain. Off the chain. All right, listen, Captain, I was going to go into something else. But actually, since I did mention Sergio, I was on briefly the open line. Again, folks, for those who are listening outside of the New York tri-state area, open line is a program that's been on for many years. It's a public affairs show. That was initially on one station, but because that station met its demise, it changed from being a R&B station to a sports station. Luckily, because they were a popular public affairs show, they were picked up by the last remaining adult contemporary black station that's in New York, I believe now, which is WBLS, the infamous / famous WBLS that was home for legendary DJ Frankie Crocker. Anyway, they're at this new home now, and James Ntume, who I've mentioned many times before, he's a legendary musician. He was also the musical director for Now, Ginseng was doing well for a minute. New York Undercover. He's also played in Miles Davis's band, and he also was a pretty popular R&B musician within his own right during the 80s with songs like Juicy Fruit and I think You, Me, He, something. I forgot the name of that song, but he has some hits. Anyway, he's on open line. He has Nelson George. He has Warrington Hutland of the Hutland Brothers. So they I've been a guest on the show myself. So this is your boy on open line discussing Shadow and Act and Django. Hold on.
Your boy.
Line one, talk to Afro Nerd out of Queens. You're on the open line.
Oh, my man, my man.
Afro Nerd.
Gentlemen.
How you been, brother? We ain't heard from you in a while, man.
Listen, a couple of things on that. Kudos to Mr. George. I interviewed him a while back for his City Kid memoir. So thanks to him for you guys to have him on the show. And also you shouted out Shadow and Act, and I am personal friends with one of the forces behind Shadow and Act, Sergio Mims from Chi-Town. So I'm glad to hear that that particular site is getting its due. Quickly, on Django. Django, I saw it twice. It puts black heroism front and center. And what the question is, what will happen thereafter? What will happen after Django? Because now you're seeing black masculinity in full fruition. We're seeing what it really looks like, and black women are connecting to it. Black women are seeing themselves as damsels in distress. They're being desired on screen. So we have to start to replicate that. So Django also is problematic because, on the other hand, as much as I love it, if Sam Jackson gets an award, he will get an award for playing a Uncle Tom.
But that was the real cat. Did we not have Uncle Toms?
Oh,
we did not have Uncle Tom.
I mean, we got him now, but I mean, back then, these people. That's, again, brother, and you made some very poignant observations. But my whole thing again. We don't want to look at it. A lot of times we don't want to look at that. These were real characters. I mean, it was played over the top, but the whole movie, was, like you said, is over the top.
Over the top.
But those characters exist. We don't want to face our own history about slavery.
Well, listen, I have a problem. I mean, it's problematic, but I enjoyed the film, and I agree with you. I just think we have to observe it.
Yes,
and
sir.
And kind of acknowledge that. And one other thing is that we have to also admit that what we're seeing now with these reality shows, it is neo-coonery. It is neo-minstrelsy. It is
like
dysfunctionalism being made as product. And and what the deal is that we have to figure out a way to market intelligence and market the black alternative. I would implore you gentlemen to actually do a segment on what is going on alternatively in black culture.
All right, brother. Thank you, Afro Nerd. Good point. We really appreciate that. We're going to wrap this up, believe it or not.
Oh, man, I want to hit that
brother's
point.
We have to.
Yeah,
got to get ready to bop.
We
got to do it.
But you got to. As usual, Captain.
They were loving you, boy.
Mr. George,
boy.
Mr. George comes through and says, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know what I mean? This media needs an enema. Black media needs an enema. Captain, they need us. The listeners know it. They know it. They need an enema. They need to be cleaned out, man. Come on. Stop the coonery.
Neo-coonery. That's the operative word. Neo-coonery. Okay.
They were in wonderment.
Neo-coonery. Neo minstrelsy.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, come on now, like people. Captain, we're dangerous. We're dangerous. Imagine I almost don't want to say larger format, because actually it might be, as much as I would desire to be on terrestrial radio, there's some drawbacks to that. Actually, the fact that, again, shouting out Afrobrit, that we have listeners that are from the U.K., Tokyo Mike from Japan, a gentleman called months ago that said he started listening to us from while being stationed in Iraq. I don't know if we were on terrestrial radio, if we would get that kind of connection. So, but hey, the media needs an enema.
We just have to do a duality situation. We'll figure it out. That's all.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. So, to be honest, we would probably have a podcast version on terrestrial, like they do as well. All right, Captain, listen, wow, 30 minutes remaining. Not even through half the topics we want to get into. It's just the way it is. Again, imagine us doing a 3 or 4 hour show. Not a problem.
Oh,
not a problem.
You know what we have to get into?
What's up?
It's the ESPN.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, there's a lot to unpack from that because, as I think I said at the top of the show, that Tom Joyner weighed in on that.
Yes.
We can connect the stories. Tom
yes.
Joyner talking about RG3 as well as Mr. Taylor losing his job. Finally, he was suspended, and then he was fired after the suspension. So he lost his job on his day off, which I'll find a clip of that somewhere also. All right, folks, let's go to a quick groove. We'll be right back. This is His Royal Badness, as always. Act of God. Act of God. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove. From the master, good God, act of God, by His Royal Badness, Prince. Folks, listen, you know me by now. You probably know what I'm going to say before I actually say it. The discourse is heavy. We don't play around. Imagine playing Lil Wayne or Drake in the background when we're having this heavy discussion while adults are talking. Be quiet while adults are talking. You can't play lightweight music. I'm giving you power grooves. It's going to get hotter, matter of fact, for 2013. Afro Nerd Unchained, Captain. Afro Nerd Unchained. I'm going to give you power grooves whether you like it or not. I can't play Rihanna, as much as I dig the way Rihanna looks. He's a pot smoker, a nude pot smoker, which under different circumstances might be sexy, actually, Captain, but for the sake of the show and the sake of branding, because I don't deal with pot smokers, but it's foolishness. And you can't even have that kind of music in the same room with heavy discourse. Your music has to be heavy to complement heavy discourse. Imagine if I played minstrel music. Imagine. People would look at me like I'm crazy. Anyway, you know what? Yes. No. 646-915-9620. Before we get into Robert Taylor's dumb behind, because he's a dummy. Okay, I would suspect he was probably making a cool low six figures to be a contributor on ESPN. You mess up that gig? Do you really mess up that gig for some foolishness? Anyway, before I even get into that, a conversation from the honor guard, from the boardroom, from Mr. Starks, who is an administrator in the New York school system. And I have to say that I have to mention this. It was just an off-the-cuff conversation, Captain. I don't think I even told you this. You know, on occasion, even we have our own memes and tropes on this show. We do have our own tropes. And a constant trope on my show, on our show, I do go into the naming issue with some of our children of color, that some of our children are named in a really haphazard manner, that these names – I'm not even saying, folks, that you cannot name your child a culturally based or culturally significant name. But these names are not culturally based, at least not really. I go on about Shaquan and Raekwon and Lakeisha and all these kind of names. But you know something, Captain? I actually heard a name, Captain, that would make me prefer Lakeisha and Raekwon over the name that I heard for some young person.
Let me hear this.
Actually, this young person has two names. Two names. I was told this person was instructed by a parent that his name is Forever. His name is Forever. But you can't call him that. He would prefer to be called Life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I started this blog, when I started the show, when I was appearing on NPR, when Mr. Starks was involved more heavily, now the captain is involved. He's a partner in this endeavor, a partner on this enterprise. All through that, I've gotten weird emails. I've gotten questions about, are you a house Negro or are you a field Negro? I've gotten that. Negro, I'm not either one of those Negroes. Slavery's over. Anyway. All kinds of wild things have been thrown against this blog and myself. I've been telling folks we are in trouble. False pride, political correctness is making it very difficult to be honest with some of our folk. Now, I don't know what more I can tell you. How is this young person going to get a job? How would he put this on a resume? How do you put that on a resume? You can't even be called in a classroom. From my understanding, the teachers are not going to entertain any of this. Although a parent said you got to call them Life. Saquon is actually better. Saquon is better. It either goes below Saquon, Captain. It even gets worse. It gets worse. We're going to move along, but I had to throw that out there. This stuff that we talk about is real.
Question. Was his parents from the 5% nation? That sounds like 5%.
I thought about that. I don't know. But okay. It's mighty young to get that kind of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
That mother should have been pulled to the side and said, at the moment he was born, someone should have said, do not harm this child this way. That might be worthy of being considered child abuse. I think that's child abuse. Really, it's child abuse. Because you are doing unnecessary harm for your chances. First of all, he might end up doing life with a name like that forever.
Your life.
I mean, are you going to go to a doctor with a name like that? Are you going to go to a lawyer with a name like that? I mean, he has to go into show business. Show business or jail. Or both. Something. What can you do with it? Where can you go, Captain? What can you do with that? What can you do with that? This is what's out here. When I talked about this, people said, no, you can't say that. No. Okay. All right.
Can I say one more thing on this?
Sure.
I knew two people named Life.
Oh, God.
Okay. Two people. One, 8-year bid. Okay. That's prosaically known as prison. 8 years in prison. That particular person.
You're kidding me. Really?
Now, hold on. Yeah. The other Life that I know is not coming home. This is a true story. He's not coming home.
Niggas love to not know.
Folks, he has
three bodies. He's not coming home. Okay. That's all. That's my own empirical evidence. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying this is going to happen with this kid, but that's just my own empirical evidence.
Wow. I was struck with that. When I was told this, I had to collect my thoughts and just deal with our demise. You know, Richard Milhouse Nixon said in a taped conversation, I don't know if I have it on, I don't, you know, I probably have it on the boards. He said in a taped conversation, he said a lot of things that were completely bat-ass crazy. But he also said something about black folks. He said black folks probably won't be able to get their S together for about 500 years. Think about that, folks. We may not be able to really get ourselves, and it makes sense because we dealt with 300 years of enslavement. So it might be double that, triple that, in order to deal with the Stockholm Syndrome that I talked about the last show. It might be a 500 years of Saquonism.
Whoa.
Now, I might be here, because I'm working on chirogenics right now. I'm not going down like the rest of you folks. I'm working on chirogenics right now. Anyway, we got to talk about Rob Griffin. Rob Griffin and Rob Taylor, actually Rob Taylor specifically. Rob Taylor, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. And actually, I might try to get him on a show. I was trying to get him on a show before I heard that he actually lost his job. From my understanding, well, to back things up a little bit, he made some comments about the Washington Redskins quarterback, RG3, Robert Griffin III. Something about his girlfriend, because his girlfriend is white. This is 2013. I don't know why this is an issue. I don't even understand why you pick out that black athlete, because there's plenty of black athletes with non-black girlfriends, or better yet, white girlfriends. What makes Robert Griffin unusual in that regard? I don't know why. But for the sake of this particular show, and what is the name of the show again, Captain?
Afro Nerd, featuring no. Captain Kirk.
They should be so lucky. The show with Skip Bayless. They should be so lucky. So let me tell you.
I don't even know the name of that show.
Anyway, I don't think it even matters. Anyway, the show was geared towards First Take. Thanks, Ja. First Take. And on the show, he made some comments against Robert Griffin. Robert Griffin was asked on a separate occasion about his ethnicity as well as his skill level. And he said, listen, I just want to be known as a great quarterback. I want to be known for my skill. I don't really want to be pigeonholed to I'm the black quarterback. Something to that. I'm paraphrasing, but it makes perfect sense. Somehow Robert Taylor read this or misread it to mean he's getting away from his blackness, that he's probably a Republican, that he's not down for the cause, whatever the cause is. He's not down for the cause, but he has braids, so that shows that he's urban.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but he's a cornball. He's a cornball black, as opposed to a mystical black. Or a lower tier black. Or a country black. Speaking as a cornball black, I take that as a personal offense. Cornball blacks stay alive. We stay alive. We're actually long lived. I'll be corny and still living. Captain, Avengers is coming out in 2015. I want to be here. Listen. Somebody on his deathbed, this is true, Hollywood sci-fi film creator and writer, J.J. Abrams, gave a dying fans his wish that he would be able to see the latest Star Trek. This man knew he was on his way out. Can you hook me up? And that's exactly what he did. So you know what? I want to be here. So I take personal offense when people say, damn it, Iron Man 3 is coming out in a few months. I want to be here to see that. I want to see Django too. Anyway, cornball blacks, in quotes, have a tendency to live a long time. Thuggish, mystical, lower tier blacks usually don't make it past 25. I don't know the stats on that, but I'm pretty sure you can look it up. Anyway, he said all these wild things. Well, actually, Captain, let me see if I can find this this clip.
We want the clip. Let's go to the videotape. Videotape. Old school style.
Go black to the future. So we can see this fool in action. I think he said some more stuff. When they just had, it was at the point where this could have just blown over. But he didn't let it blow over. All right. Hold on.
I'm talking to some people down in Washington, D.C., and my question, honestly,
friends of yours, right?
Friends of mine, right? Who were around in some of the press conferences, people I've known for a long time. But my question, which is just a straight, honest question, is he a brother or is he a cornball brother?
What does that mean?
Yeah, explain that.
Well, he's not really. Okay, he's black. He kind of does the thing, but he's not really down with the cause. He's not one of us. He's kind of black. He's in the but he's not really like the guy you really want to hang out with because he's off to something else.
Why is that your question?
Well, because that's just how I want to find out about him. I don't know because I keep hearing these things. We all know he has a white fiance, and there was all this talk about he's Republican, which there's no. Information at all. I'm just trying to dig deeper into why he has an issue because we did find out with Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was like, I don't want to, I got black skin, but don't call me black. So people got a little wondered about Tiger Woods early on about him.
What do RG3's braids say to you?
Now that's different because to me, That's very urban and makes you feel like, I think he would have a clean cut if he was more straight-laced or not. Like, wearing braids is, you're a brother. You're a brother. Sorry. If you got braids on.
Stephen A., what's your take on this?
Well, first of all, let me say this. I'm uncomfortable with where we just went.
Yeah, you know, I wish I could find the entire exchange online. I guess it's around somewhere. Cause I would have liked to hear. I've heard more from Stephen A. Smith.
He's an idiot, this guy. Oh man! Whoa! Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
What cause is he talking about? I mean, I'm still confused. Anyway, I mean, to get to the jump, I'm gonna go forward and go back. Bottom line is, he was suspended after there was an outcry about this. I guess more and more people are becoming more enlightened about these kind of things, that this young man just wants to conduct business. He's marrying who he's marrying. And in this day and age, heck, I was about to even go on the Afro Nerd tip. I was even going to go into this whole deal, which I may still do. As folks know, I collect comics. We go more into comics on the Comic Shop on Sundays. Check us out Sundays at 6 p.m. where we talk about comics and, you know, more embedded Afro Nerdism on Sundays at 6 o'clock with Daryl B. I was going to mention that although I'm not really a collector of Archie comics, but I am a comic collector. I collect all kinds of comics. I do have a few Archie comics, and even Archie has a black girlfriend. Even Archie. And Archie is quintessential whiteness. Archie had it where there was a gay marriage in the Archie comics in the last couple of months. So even Archie is moving ahead. So this guy is discussing this black man, a black athlete with a white wife or a white fiance, like it's an oddity. Like this conversation took place in 1967. He's off by almost 50 years now. So I mean, the whole thing, even the terminology, Captain. First of all, as you said, he needs a shape up, like Cornel West needs a shape up.
That's
I don't trust Negroes that aren't into grooming.
Cut your hair.
No,
everybody else on the show looked good, but except for him, cut your hair.
I don't exactly. He's talking about cornball blacks. You see how crisp Stephen A. Smith looks when he's on TV on camera.
Awesome.
This fool is rough around the edges and rough around his edges. I mean, what's going on? Present yourself. Who's the cause? So, and then he talks about the cause. What is the cause? Will someone tell me what the cause means? I mean, I know what it means, but I also know it doesn't mean anything. Kanye West just bought a $14 million mansion with Kim Kardashian. Is he fighting the cause with that big behind? Is he? I mean, watch for Afro Nerd. You might see Afro get come up with a $3 million house. Someone's knocking it up. You got to fight the cause. I'm looking at my watch. I don't know if I can do that today. I don't sort of fit my schedule. Come on. What cause are you talking about? Why don't you go to Wiz Khalifa to see if he's going to fight the cause? Nobody's fighting the cause. What is the cause? The cause is us. Pull up your pants. Get a shape up on camera. Stop trying to pull Negro's cards for being pseudo-Negro. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to say he's a pseudo-black person. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. I don't believe there's such a thing as in this landscape, I don't know if there's such a thing as if you could call somebody out for being pseudo. Because no one – listen, Captain, before I start acting like the black Alex Jones, before we get to some kind of consensus on what the cause is, if there is a cause, Captain – the cause is we have to get our dysfunctionalism under control. We have to stop killing each other. Then we can get to some kind of cause. pull up your pants, maybe rethink naming your sons and daughters wild names that a recruiter will toss into the wastebasket. Just a consideration. Just a thought. Get yourself educated, and then you can continue with the cause. But there's no cause. There's no cause, Cap. There's no cause unless we root out this internal dysfunctionalism. So anyway, Mr. Parker is out of a job. He was suspended. Only, I think he said some other comments about he was trying to, instead of being silent, he went further into the quicksand and said something else, that he was trying to do something, and that it was almost propped up by ESPN. ESPN knew where he was going, and they almost sanctioned it. Once he started talking more, then he gets fired. What's going on here, Captain? What am I losing? What is the cause?
Well, this particular individual with the bad hair, he shot himself right from goal, right in the foot. Because the topic, he was just totally off base. That's the first thing. The second thing, his comments throughout the whole topic were borderline. Once he got to the point where he said, oh, she has, you know, he has a white girl, and then talked about the braids, that was it. That's when the suit said, okay, after this, he will be suspended. He will be suspended. Now they went back and played it back a few more times after in their mind and everything, he was suspended. And they said, you know what? You're going to have to fire this individual. He was out of line, or as some people would say, out of order. And I never liked this here any old way, so let's get rid of him. That's exactly what happened.
Well, you know something funny? This is where there might be something going on with ESPN. ESPN played that episode again. They played it again. So there is some tomfoolery going on. If they really thought it was a completely off the wall conversation, which it was, but so offensive, why did they replay that clip? They replayed the show over again. Again, I should say.
How the hell are you gonna get fired on your day off?
That's what happened to him. He was fired upon suspension.
God damn. You got to be a stupid motherfucker to get fired on your day off.
I'm just saying, Captain. All right, listen. Still more to discuss, actually. I'm trying to figure, we got about 6 minutes, Captain. We might have to actually start wrapping things up. But I just grow weary of these kind of conversations where once again, whether it's our president, whether it's a football player, it's always this whole notion of authentic blackness. It's plagued me. It's plagued yours truly for a long time. But it has especially plagued me since we started doing a show called Afro Nerd. And that thugism, minstrel behavior, no one ever calls these things out for being inauthentically black. And I want to know why. That's what I want to know, Captain, as I find another clip here. Why haven't we become more sophisticated enough to start calling out certain things as not really being black? Things that we should be calling not black.
It takes time to evolve, right? It takes time to evolve.
500 years? Like Richard Nixon says, are we going to ride with that?
Not 500, maybe another 200.
I don't know.
Would actually, maybe another 200. You know? Maybe another 200. It takes time for the means to grow, you know? To metastasize through all the menstrual foolishness. Take some time. You know? See, the particular powers that be, which is the lower tier, they have, in this case, just in this argument, they've had a problem with you because, you know, you look like you have health care, your teeth are a little too straight, you know, your skin looks like, you know, you take care of proper hygiene. They have issues with that. have issues with that. You talk proper, you sound educated. You know, they would turn around and say, oh, you know, that's not really being black, you know. It's not really black. You need to have the braids, Sir Afro Nerd. You understand? Your teeth need to be busted, Afro Nerd. You can't have any source of income. You have to be coming in and out of jail, Sir Afro Nerd.
Well, you know what?
Down for the cause. That's
you know,
what black is supposed to be.
You know what? The problem is that the powers that be believe this, and so do some of our people. Some of our people have become that whole Stockholm syndrome where we start to believe the worst of us. All my baby's mamas coming to Oxygen Network soon. They're trying to boycott that, but I think people want to see that car wreck. Shorty Lowe and his 11 children. And matter of fact, right before we went on air, they had a quote from him, and he said, I take care of my kids, like Chris Rock said. He says, I take care of my kids, all 11 of them, and 10 of their mothers. Incredible. Incredible. This while we have a black family in the White House and a black man at the helm, this is still going on. Wow. Listen, let's go to a quick groove, maybe a minute, and then we're going to have to table this until Sunday, folks. Hold on. This is Rage Against the Machine, War. Hold on. Let's groove.
I wonder what it would be like to sail on an ocean with the bitter tears of those who lost their loved ones to a stranger. How many stadiums could you fill with all the people killed in war? Now you look me in my eyes and tell me what it's good for.
Folks, we got about a minute, so I couldn't let that groove go out completely. Any passing thoughts, Catherine, before we table this again for Sunday show? Folks, remember, 6 p.m., Daryl V., myself, the captain for the comic shop, and then 7 o'clock, we have Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Any closing remarks before we move on out?
No passing remarks, just a current remark. Get your hair cut, keep your wig tight, so you don't go out like this fool we just finished talking about.
Yeah, this cornball, I think. All right, folks, it's been real and a pleasure. This is Chocolate City, a classic, Parliament. See you on Sunday.
Oh, what's happening, CC? They still call it the White House, but that's a temporary condition, too. Can you dig it, CC? To each his reach, and if I don't cop, it ain't mine to have. But I'll be reaching for you, because I love you, CC. Right on. There's a lot of chocolate cities around. We've got Newark, we've got Gary. Somebody told me we got L.A. And we're working on Atlanta. You're the capital. Get down. Moving in on you. Can't you feel my breath?
around your neck. Hey, CC. They say you jive and game and can't be changed. But on the positive side, you're my piece of the rock and I love you, CC. Can you dig it? Hey, we didn't get our 40 acres and a mule, but we did get you, CC. Yeah. Gaining on ya. Moving in around ya. God bless CC and his Vanilla Suburbs. Black, brother Black, blood even. Yeah, just funny. Getting down. A blood to blood, a players to ladies. The last percentage count was 80. You don't need the bullet when you got the ballot. Are you up for the downstroke, CC? Chocolate City. Are you with me out there? And when they come to march on you, tell them to make sure they got their James Brown pass. And don't be surprised if Ali is in the White House. Reverend Ike, Secretary of the Treasury. Richard Pryor, Minister of Education. Stevie Wonder, Secretary of Fine Arts. And Miss Aretha Franklin, the First Lady. Are you out there, CC? A Chocolate City is no dream. It's my piece of the rock. And I dig you, CC. God bless Chocolate City and its vanilla suburbs. Can y'all get to that? Can't get enough. Demo funk. Demo funk. And we funky too. Right on, Chocolate City. New York, I'm told.